Okay, well, so we're live now, so thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And wanted to be a part of the College of William & Mary Hip Hop collection. So just to get started, would you mind introducing yourself?
My name is Theodore Jameson, from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Traveled the world via a military family, but Virginia Beach was always home. Stage name is Intellect. You know, it's spelled unintelligibly, but still Intellect.
So, military family, so is that basically what brought your family to Virginia? Or yeah, did you start in Virginia and then family did some traveling then came back here? Or?
Well, my father, so I'm pretty much like biracial. My father's African American, my mother's Filipino. Mm-hmm. So in his travels within the Navy, he met my mother in the Philippines. My sister was born there. He was then placed, you know, stationed in Virginia, and then I was born in Portsmouth.
Okay.
And from Portsmouth, you know, they moved to Virginia Beach. We traveled, like, we've lived in Maryland. I've lived in Philly, but Virginia's been the longest that I've actually stayed in one place.
Okay. So did you, like high school age and stuff like that was Virginia Beach?
Right. Well, yeah. Middle school, 2 years in middle school, because I've also lived overseas as well.
Okay.
My eighth grade and my ninth grade years were overseas.
Okay.
I've done some elementary school in Maryland, some elementary school in Philly, and some elementary school in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Middle school, Corbin, I went to Corbin Landon Middle School in Virginia Beach. We then traveled, we lived in Bahrain for 2 years, from 2000 to 2002. Came back, and I went to Lansdowne High School, and that's where I graduated from.
Okay.
It's Lansdowne High.
So I want to jump in, actually, right away, just in terms of the peripatetic life that you've lived. So tell me how you got exposed to and interested in hip hop, since, you know, and where did you pick it up first?
Yeah.
And where did you hear it first? And, you know, where did it catch you first?
I think it mainly came from my father. He was huge into rap and hip hop. And, you know, for him, it was, you know, fairly new because, you know, the golden era of it was more late 80s, early 90s. So I used to go and, like, take his cassette tapes. You know, and you know, in the Navy, you would like be, you know, you'll travel and you know, go out to sea and stuff like that. So when he would be out, I would take his tapes and play them, you know, in secrecy. My mother didn't really quite understand because she was more into R&B and things like that. So her thing wasn't really rap music, and still to this day, she doesn't like it at all.
Right.
But it had to be it was the MC Light. Light as a Rock. I took that cassette tape and I played it, and it was like maybe like a week or two before he was supposed to come back, and I ruined it. Like, you know how the cassette tapes, the tape comes out. I'm trying to scroll and put it back in, and I just popped it, like ruined the whole tape. He came home, I tried to hide it, and that was like one of the worst beatings ever of my life. But I want to say it was then, because the things that she was saying and the way she was putting the words together, it was kind of like, I loved her. I loved MC Light. And that was probably like the first time I really took to it. When I really got into it, though, was Dr. Dre's Chronic tape. I listened to that in secrecy. Didn't know what it was about. But, you know, it was just the rhythm of it and the sound of it. And what fully committed me to it, to the genre, was the Fugees, The Score album. My mother bought the tape for me because it didn't have that parental advisory sticker on it.
Right.
So at that time, this was what, 96? They were still in kind of like competing, not competing, but labels didn't know whether or not they wanted to put those stickers up. At the time, they were choosing, like labels were able to choose if they wanted to or not. So the Fugees, that album didn't have it up there. So she bought it for me,
thinking
it wasn't, you know, like bad or nothing. And I'm playing it, I'm hearing all these words that I was told were bad, but I fell in love with the album. And it's still my favorite album to this day. So yeah, that was my timeline into hip hop.
Okay, so you know, in terms of, so you've got the building blocks of Father's Tapes, sort of golden age. And then, you know, the Sonics get blown out a little bit with Dr. Dre and the Chronic.
Yeah.
And then moving on to the sort of widescreen album, which is, you know, the Score. So are those also what you would go back then and say, like, these are my influences? Or well, so not only those folks, but then who are your influences? Yeah. I guess is the long-winded way of trying to answer that question.
I'm influenced by a lot. Like, it's not just music, though. It's like I'm influenced by people more so than anything. And I tell people all the time, like, it's the world. Like, I have a genuine love for conversation and just taking different walks of life and kind of seeing their views of the world, not just the way I see it. So even with the music that, say, like the Fugees or Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, those people, the music that they create is what they see as well. So it can be through conversation, through what I see and things like that. That's more of an influence than just the music. You know, but it does have a lot to do with the music that I create. The music that I've heard does have a lot to do with what I do, but it's not just music. For me, it's not just music, you know. Just walking through the library here would create an idea for me to, you know, put something together. So
then, you know, sort of dovetailing then off this idea of being influenced not only by music, but by people and conversation. I mean, how do you describe yourself as an artist? Like, what words, if somebody asked you, well, what style of music do you make? What, you know, what style of hip-hop?
Yeah, my style is, it's more of the lyrical, poetic, in a sense that I feel like it's more lyrical and poetic. How would they describe me? I would probably be observant, very observant. I love storytelling, and to go back to the influences, that would have to be like Slick Rick, was one of the great storytelling hip-hop artists. Eminem, like artists like that. I love to tell stories, so I think that's how people would describe me, but it would also be like a lyricist. I'm more of a lyricist and very detailed in what I try to say and try to express. You know, there's a lot of braggadocious in rap anyway, but I kind of tend to the craft of it, not just what they want on the radio and things like that, but kind of play around with the format of hip-hop and kind of see what you can pull and push with it, you know? But I'm more of a lyrical artist.
So in terms of sort of Virginia hip-hop history, I mean, do you... You know, I'm curious about, especially the fact that you've lived all over the place. I mean, you know, you're influenced by, you know, global geography in a lot of ways. But in terms of what's the Virginia input in terms of your art? I mean, you know, is there like, you're like, oh, well, 5% is Virginia Beach, you know, 10% is Maryland. I mean, is it something like that? Or is there something other than saying like, well, I lived here that you would classify yourself as in terms of being a Virginia artist or Virginia hip-hop?
I think I would more so deem it that. Even though I don't see myself as just a local artist, I never really called myself, like, local, you know? But I've listened to the music, but the thing is like you said, I've traveled so much that I never really paid attention to, you know, where I'm from. Like, I love Virginia Beach all the way, you know, but it's not just Virginia Beach. So it is like a pie graph in a sense of what's influenced and where do I feel. Like, I feel, since I've traveled so much, that I am a child of the world, you know. It's just I've planted more roots in Virginia Beach than anywhere else. So I got that stronghold here, but with me traveling so much, I just love to travel, you know, and that was the move to go to LA. That was the move to, well, my parents, you know, picked up and went to Bahrain. Like, those type of moves made it seem for me that I was given the world, you know, that everybody was given the world to at least see and to be able to go to. But yeah, I think it's just, I never really seen it like, yeah, I'm local. I represent the state. Because this is where my voice is being, this is where my voice is being projected from, in a sense, you know. So, that's, yeah, I think that's a good answer.
Yeah. You know, and so just in terms of, you know, 'cause I have conversations with a lot of folks mm-hmm. about, you know, this very idea, like, what does it mean? What does Virginia mean in terms of music? Is there such a thing as a Virginia sound? You know, that sort of mm-hmm. just trying to figure out, 'cause a lot of people, it seems to be like almost like a 50-50 split, right?
Right.
Like a lot of people say, yes, Virginia is this. A lot of people say,
right.
You know, there isn't a Virginia.
I don't really see that we have a sound mm-hmm. in a sense. It's just like we're like a crossway between the South and mm-hmm. the North. Mm-hmm. And we're like smack in the middle. And so many people come through here. I think we gravitate to what we feel is good at the time, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know? The ones that I can probably say that originated their sound, and I wouldn't even say that their Virginia sound is like Neptunes mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. Teddy Riley,
right.
Timbaland, Missy, those type of artists were pulling from different areas as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it wasn't really just specifically coming from Virginia. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have a lot of gospel and things like that in Virginia that I've seen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a lot of deep rooted like gospel sound. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. even if you travel through Hampton, like the actual city, you'll see there's like a church everywhere, mm-hmm, you know, in mm-hmm, Hampton. Mm-hmm. And you could see that influence that gospels have. And you can hear it in the music as well. With even like we'll take No Malice, for instance. Mm-hmm, like he's changed. And that was probably something that was rooted in him already. But for him to do a turn that way and kind of move in that direction can show that. And he was been making music since the 90s as well. Mm-hmm. But that deep-rooted gospel, I feel is in Virginia. Mm-hmm. But for other genres like rock, country, things like that, I feel like are pulled from different areas. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say there's like a Virginia sound. We just sound good.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, especially just in terms of like contemporary R&B and hip-hop sound, when you start naming folks that, you know, national, international audience might not know have a home base in Virginia, like Timbaland and Teddy Riley, mm-hmm. Transplant, but like, in a lot of ways, I mean, Virginia, or these folks are the sound of what everyone is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're like universal sound more so than just regional.
Right, right.
So yeah, I definitely understand that. So, want to kind of circle back a little bit, you know, I do that quite a bit.
You're right.
But just in terms of, I think, talking about, well, actually, before we get to the, sorry, I'm talking out loud too, but talk to me about sort of the experience of now being in LA mm-hmm. and versus Virginia. I mean, in terms of, is the scene different? I mean, is the sound different? Just explain that a little bit more.
Yeah, the scene is totally different. I mean, it's a huge area. Like, the state itself is, like, what, one-third, two-thirds of the coast, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a huge difference. There's, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
There's, is also a different sound as well. Like, mm-hmm. a huge difference in the sound. They have a lot of soul versus, like, the grit of the East Coast. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The West has a lot more soul. It's a lot more slowed down, in a sense. It's just totally different. You know what I'm saying? It's totally different.
Yeah, and so how... Well, I guess, how long have you been out there?
No. 8 months.
Eight months. Have you felt it sort of impact the way you think about... you know, writing, putting music together, putting a song together?
It definitely has. I've met a couple people out there that are, you know, like songwriters and mm-hmm, stuff like mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. Their basis is more on, let's hit the radio. Like, what can we do to land on the radio? Mm-hmm. When I never really thought that mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. There's been times that I've thought, like, I need something to kind of push to the radio. But as an artist, when I create, I don't think that way first.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Create my art. And then let's see if it can get on the radio. Mm-hmm. Versus like, let's get on the radio and then let's make the art to get to the radio.
Right,
you know
right,
what I'm
right.
saying? Yeah. So it's very commercialized on mm-hmm. the West Coast. Okay, I mean, you got the influence of like movies out there.
Yeah.
Everything's out there. So they think commercially first versus the art of it. And not to, you know, downgrade any artists on mm-hmm. the West Coast. Mm-hmm. But that's from just, you know, me seeing what I see mm-hmm. And the people that I've been around. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's totally different. For it to influence me, I've kind of thought it in that sense, more like in a circle rather than and go through this route and then get to the next. It's more like
right.
circling back, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. stick to your art, but also think commercially and see what you can do. But that's the way I've looked at it since I've been out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, especially just in terms of the fact that, you know, the entertainment industry is located out there. I mean, they're mm-hmm. you know, they're from the beginning, they've got to think the infrastructure's there. I mean, like, you right. can't escape it. So
right at all, you know, and they want the music and things like that to land, like for movies, commercials, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they think that way for everything, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But I've never really thought like that, you know. Being out here, like, you get the seasons of it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, with the heat in the summer, you'll get the rowdy, loud music. Mm-hmm. With the rain, you'll get the, not necessarily depressing, but the mellow,
right,
melancholy.
Right.
And there, it's sunny all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's people running around, no clothes on all day.
Right.
So you're getting,
right.
like, everything is, like, fun, lively. And there'll be some dark times, of course, but over there, it's, like, it's more joyous. I like to see the emotion. Mm-hmm. I don't really mm-hmm. catch that a lot mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. the West Coast. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, just in general then, would you mind just talking about, like, your creative process? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you go about making your art? I mean, is there, do you start with a line? Do you start with the music? I mean, you know, how do you put it together?
It's normally, I normally start with the music. Like, I'll get music or beats or have an idea, and, like, I'll get the beat, and then I'll kind of create it that way. I'll listen to a beat. Maybe it can be, like, the first time I generate a song. Mm-hmm. Then I can listen to a beat for, like, months, and then the idea won't hit me until months later, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But I'll always keep it around. But I kind of listen to a beat first, and then I'll just listen to it, turn it off, and then I'll write without hearing the music. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. the way, because it just, to me, it just kind of clashes. Like, I can't sit in a room and play a beat and just write while the beat's playing. I have to be in, like, not complete total silence, but in my thoughts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the song kind of creates that way. I do poetry as well. Mm-hmm. So more poems, they come, like, in an instant. Like, mm-hmm, they're just mm-hmm. thoughts that are just running, so I just start to write things down, mm-hmm. and then I just flow with it. But with the music, it normally starts with a beat, and then I'll just listen to it, cut it off, and then I'll just put it, you know, write the words like that. I have to be alone. Mm-hmm. That's my thing as well. It mm-hmm. has to be just me and the music.
Okay.
I can have people around sometimes, but I'd rather it just be me in my own, like, four-walled box, mm-hmm. and just create that way.
So, and I mean, like, completely alone, not just, like, you can't even just be strange. Like, you can't do it at Starbucks.
No, I've done it before.
Okay.
But I feel it's more comfortable alone, mm-hmm. you okay. know? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's just me, you know, with the headphones on, things like that, and, you know, I could do it that way. I've okay. written songs at work before, mm-hmm. like, snuck off into the bag, write some lines down, mm-hmm. leave, come back, do it again. I've written songs, like, in studios with people around mm-hmm, as mm-hmm. well. But the majority, like 80% of the music that I've created from the beginning to now has been, like, just me in my room.
Okay.
And just writing, you know?
So, I'm curious about, you know, as you're writing, the difference between, is there a difference in terms of, you know, style, subject, even language, for when you're writing poetry versus writing a song?
I don't see a difference, mm-hmm. in a sense. I think with most of my songs are more poetry driven anyway. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They come from a lyrical base. Mm-hmm. So the poems that I do create, they don't always rhyme, but they have a, you know, they have a topic, they have a format, they have an image that I mm-hmm. kind of create. Beats and instrumentals and stuff kind of create that scene for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to, they give that visual. So there's certain songs that have that have that story in it. Like, for instance, like off of Lives and Vibes, you have I Caught You, the mm-hmm. song I Caught You. And just the sample in it, it's just like, it's story driven. So I tell three stories of three relationships and how those three relationships kind of go off in a sense. I think the first one, this is a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Not even long, but it's just a while. I think the first one, the first verse is about a guy liking a girl, but she started talking to his friend and he loved her so much, like wanted to get her, that he was willing to like kill her in a sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The second verse was a guy was a playboy. Mm-hmm. And he finally talked to this girl. He was chatting with this girl, and the tables turned on him. Mm-hmm. Like now mm-hmm. he's being played by mm-hmm. the girl. Mm-hmm. And the third verse is two women, you know, and they're in a relationship, but one of the women is leaving for a man. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so these are stories that again goes back to the influences of what I see and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. But that story was derived from the beat. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just something that I was already thinking.
Okay.
You know, but mm-hmm. it, like, these things and topics already dwell in mm-hmm. my mind. So it takes a beat to like get that idea and pull it out for me to do. Mm-hmm. So.
So when you're performing, will you do both sort of spoken word poetry and then also, you know, mm-hmm. basically mix your sets together in terms of the you know, poem and then songs? Do you do that, or is there, or do you like to keep it in terms of performance, your two outlets separate?
Yeah, I don't really do the poetry. Mm-hmm. Like that's more of a private thing for me.
Okay.
Like the poems are kind of private to stick to me and put in my collection. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But as far as like my shows and stuff, it's more comedic than anything.
Okay.
I like to go up there and have fun, so mm-hmm. I'll pull from the crowd. I'll make jokes and stuff like mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. in between certain songs or even during songs. Like if I'm performing, it's not me like just going up there like strictly rapping. Mm-hmm. Like I want the audience to have fun just as much as I'm having fun giving the music to you. Mm-hmm. You know, I want everybody to feel like you're like, you know, I had a good time at an intellect show, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know? So that's, the poetry is, that's definitely private. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, my shows is, you know, hip hop, all fun, all love, you know, let's just laugh and have a good time. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So, okay, so cycle back, or sort of circle in terms of topic, but, you know, now that we've talked enough in some various ways, I'm just mm-hmm. curious about, you know, how do you define hip hop?
Mm, that's a great question. How do I define hip hop? I always have this saying. I say hip hop is love, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and with love, it's just so many different emotions you could pull out of love. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like with love, you get sadness, happiness, pain, joy, pleasure, things like that. Mm-hmm. Like when you're happy, you're happy. You know what I'm saying? Though that's just a strict emotion. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
when you're sad, you're sad. That's a strict emotion. But when you're in love, you can hate to be in love. Mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. can love to be in love. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, it hurts mm-hmm. to be in love. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and that's what hip hop is. I don't think there's a box for it in a sense because it's a lot of emotion, in my opinion. I mean, in any other genre is the same, but there is a lot of pain in hip hop. There's a lot of joy with hip hop, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know. And I feel like that's what it is. The it's not necessarily defined, but if I had to put my finger on it, I'd call it that, which is love. Like mm-hmm. that'd be my definition of hip hop. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know, I actually want to jump tracks again a little bit, but to go back to some of the talk of, you know, the more process driven, I guess, in terms of putting songs together. But I mean, if you wouldn't mind running down a little bit, just in terms of you know, any current projects and past projects as well.
Okay, my latest one, the LAVA, Los mm-hmm. Angeles, Virginia. Mm-hmm. It's I've done it with the, I've worked with a producer named EOM. He did all the beats at the time. He's from Virginia too, like Northern Virginia. He's graduated from Hampton University. Mm-hmm. He moved to LA to work with this artist named Wax. That's like, they're like a 1-2 punch type of thing. Mm-hmm. EOM was creating these beats. He was sending me a bunch of beats and things like that. And we always play with the idea of putting a project together. Mm-hmm. So all the beats that he created were in LA, and I was still here at the time. So he was like, hey man, yeah, he came up with the whole idea. Mm-hmm. Like, let's call it the Lava Tape, you know, which is, you know, Los Angeles, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we made it a conceptual song, a conceptual tape, which, you know, basically played off the idea of Virginia Beach and Los Angeles combining, which in a sense is different in geography, but the stories that you can find in LA are probably the same stories you can find in Virginia Beach, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So that was the tape, and that's the way we did it, was he would send the beats, you know, I would record the vocals, and I'll send it back to him for like mixing and mastering and things like that. A lot of my projects were done that way. Like Lives and Vibes, the producer, I met him through an artist named Princess. Mm-hmm. She went to VCU, and she's done like cover art for Ninth Wonder, Kendrick Lamar. She's worked with a lot of artists. And she introduced me to him via Twitter. And he lives in Nova Scotia.
Okay.
So we came up with Lives and Vibes, which he sent me like maybe three beats. And within that week, I created these songs because it was just a whole different sound he was giving me at the time, where I just rushed to it. Like, I put everything to the side and rushed to this idea. And I sent him three songs. And after that, he just was sending me more and more songs. He was like, you work so fast, you work so good, like things like that. And we knocked out, the original Lies and Vibes was 10 tracks. We knocked it out in 3 weeks.
Okay.
So the project was done within a month of me meeting him to us finishing the project. Was in 3 weeks. And it was just, it was the same way. We he would send the record, it would be skeletons, which is like the beat's not complete. There's an idea for it, and then he'll send it to me. I'll record my idea of what I hear, and he'll compile more sounds to it. And that's how a lot of the Lives and Vibes came about. But it was a back and forth thing. It was never really hands-on as far as like the major projects, like Synesthesia, Lives and Vibes, and the LAVA were probably my major projects. Everything else were more mixtape styles. So like Hello Space World 2, the Fatboy Slim and Intellect Experiment, those were just me giving ideas, you know? While I was gone, like you said, that'll probably be another one too. Like, while I was gone was, at the time I had went through my second surgery. I tore my ACL twice. So while I was gone was just me creating songs. I wasn't able to go to the studio and record. I was just writing a bunch of songs. And then the day that I was able to walk and go to the studio, I recorded all the songs, you know, that I was writing. So we called it While I Was Gone, made the tape, you know, black and things like that to kind of make it seem like I was missing. In a sense, I wasn't anywhere but home.
Right.
But, you know, I was, it was just a play on the things, and I talked to, you know, it's commentary on it where I'm talking and things like that. But it's, yeah, I never really sat hands on with a lot of the producers that I worked with, because then again, like I said, I'd like to take the beats and kind of go in my own corner, you know, and do my thing. So yeah, that's the way I put a lot of my projects together.
Okay, so, I mean, of course, you know, I mentioned that, get hooked up for Lives and Vibes, Nova Scotia, back and forth, the LAVA tape. Even though Virginia guy is out in, he's out in LA now, or was then. But in terms of working relationships with folks, are there, what sort of relationships with folks in VA have you developed?
Oh, okay. I've developed a lot, honestly. A good friend of mine's named Jay Farrow, and the Manhattan Project was his band. I've developed like a, it's like an older brother type of thing. And he's talked to me a lot about music, you know, life, things like that. Scotty P is another good friend of mine's. Pretty much everybody in the collection already, like Samandi. Mm-hmm. I've known Samandi since like 06, 07. Double XL. The list goes on. I met Fam Lay maybe a couple years ago. Marcus Watts or M. Watts. I was introduced to Pusha through Watts. Mm-hmm. I met Malice through, how did I meet Malice? It was around, like we were just all, I was always around for, at one point in time, just around everybody, you know? And I think I just met Malice just on the run. Knots, I met Knots at a hip hop party. And, you know, he came to me and was like, you know, you're one of the ones that I feel like are dope, you know, in our area. Just keep going. I met Bink at a show of mine's. And that same night, Bink, you know, came, like, he took me to a studio and everything. A Driver, it's like a brother of mine. Everybody, I've met pretty much a lot of the figureheads in the area.
Yeah, so, you know, in terms then of, I guess, so, you know, it's a very long roster in terms of the folks that you've been able to meet and develop a relationship with. I'm curious about how would you describe the way that folks get along in VA? I mean, it's, you know, what's the feeling or vibe between everyone that's trying to put VA on?
I think the major divide, and I do feel there is a divide. There's like hip hop, then there's an underground, and then there's an underground that I see. Virginia rap and hip hop is more seen on the gritty level. You get the street rap and the things like that, and that's what's played like on local radio. You'll hear that more often than anything. And then you have the what people call the backpack rappers, and I'm placed in that category in a sense, which is the ones that pay more attention to the craft, to the lyrics, to the actual art of it. And not to say that the ones that do the gritty rap don't look at that, because I've done shows with these people that, you know, show me love, you know what I'm saying? And I would never think, you know, like big, strong, burly guys, like, hey man, you can rap, yo, you're dope, you know? I ain't saying nothing but just lyrics, and they're like, yeah, shoot, gun, kill, you know?
Right.
And that's cool, you know what I'm saying? But, well, it's not cool to do that, but I mean, that's what they do, like that's your music. But I see the divide in that. There's people like myself, A Driver, certain artists that cross both sides. We have songs that we just rap, and that's placed into this underground that I feel. And then there's other songs that we create that I don't feel as though they'll be quick enough to listen to. And that's the divide in that. But within these regions, is love within those regions. You know what I'm saying? Like, so for instance, like there's this open mic in Virginia Beach at this place called Static Lounge, where you'll get more of the street rap, and they're all out there showing each other love, buying drinks, this, that, and the third. And then you'll get another bulk of the people that go to this thing called Crush Groove at 45 Degrees. And it's more so of the craft of the art and hip hop. And but we'll both kind of, you'll catch artists from here going here and artists from here going here at times, just to kind of show that we are encompassed within each other, but we don't have the same audience in a sense. The love is there though. I see that from when I first started actually going to open mics in like 05, 06, I was doing rap songs where they were just poetry. You know, they weren't even giving you beats. You couldn't play your CD or nothing. So I would travel like to Newport News, Hampton, Norfolk, you know what I'm saying? Different areas. And just rap a cappella, you know? And they were like, then people started to pop up with like, hey, come to these open mics, you can bring a CD. This was like 06, 07 at the time. So then for it to be where it's at now, where you get shows, like hip hop shows everywhere, even down at the beach where, on the oceanfront, where they weren't even giving hip hop artists like a venue to do that, you know? And then now it's like, you got places like Shaka's or Peabody's that have hip-hop artists come mm-hmm. there to perform. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I remember when it wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I think people are starting to catch on, not necessarily late, but they're seeing that it's not, like, rap and hip-hop has this negative connotation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in a sense. And people are starting to see that it's not. And there's the things like William & Mary with the student hip-hop org, mm-hmm, VCU mm-hmm. student mm-hmm. hip-hop org, kind of showed it. And I used to travel a lot to Richmond just to perform. Mm-hmm. And I would always think, like, why we can't do it here, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. in our area. So it took a while for people to latch on to it. And now that people are latching on to it, I think that the love that we have for one another in this genre is starting to be more built up. Mm-hmm. It's starting to be what it was. When it wasn't like that before, where we were just like, yo, if you rap, it's the gritty rap, stay on your side. If it's the lyrical rap, stay
right,
on your side.
Right, right, right.
Now it's like, you know, we can all work together, you know? Mm-hmm. We can all work together. And that's a funny thing, too. I actually went to a meeting. This had to be in, like, 2010. I wanted to bring hip-hop to the beach. Mm-hmm. So, and I was always bugged by how, like, it's this thing called Beach Week during the summertime. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have, like, rock festivals. They have, like, country artists, band, cover bands, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't even remember how I did it. I think I just emailed somebody from the Beach Week events page or something like that. It's like, hey, I want to talk, you know, hip-hop with y'all. So I'm, like, the youngest guy in there. Everybody in there had to be, like, 40 and over. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they look like they don't even want to listen to hip-hop.
Right, right, right.
And they put me in this corner. Like, they talk about, you know, beach events and stuff that's coming up. Like, okay, this venue needs to have water at their event and mm-hmm, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So then they all turn to me and, like, okay, we want to give the floor to Theo. He wants to talk about bringing hip-hop to the area. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had a piece of paper, and I'm nervous. I don't even know how I'm going to tell these people, mm-hmm. like, how to do it. But I was just like, there's no hip-hop at the beach. You know what I'm saying? And just put my hand down. Like, how do we go about putting this genre of music into the hands of, you know what I'm saying, the people that come down there? Mm-hmm. And, like, it wasn't necessarily, like, negative connotation, but they were just like, you know, we need family-oriented
type
of music mm-hmm. and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And, I mean, you got family-oriented hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know artists in our area that can do that. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, yeah, like, come back when you can create a CD with family-oriented hip-hop. And I was like, oh, that's going to be tough. I don't know if the next time y'all see me, I'll have it. But it was crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then now it's like with Shaggy, able to bring down, like, hip-hop artists to mm-hmm. the Peabodys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Shakas is having, like, I went to a Slick Rick concert at mm-hmm. Shakas, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're bringing hip-hop to the beach, something that I was already trying to do. Maybe I was looking at it at a larger scale, but they were trying to bring it down there, and they're doing it in, like, you know, pop-up spots, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's our area kind of seeing that hip-hop isn't all bad. Mm-hmm. There's some good to it. Yeah, so.
So, you know, in terms of, like, how do you view yourself or think about yourself in relationship to Virginia hip-hop?
I feel like I'm pushing it in a positive direction. I feel like I've done a lot to help cultivate the area within the hip-hop community mm-hmm. by, you know, like, showing that We can have shows, we can have good music out there that is hip-hop, and I feel like I am, like, a figurehead to it. I've done a lot of groundwork in the area, mm-hmm. and, you know, I feel like I'm bragging about myself, and which I don't want to do, but I feel like I do stand amongst the ones that came out of our area, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that kind of showed and shone light to our area, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm trying to do. And I do it in any and everywhere I go. Like, even when I was, like, in LA, I'd wear my Virginia's for Lovers sweatshirt mm-hmm. everywhere, just because I feel like we do get a lot of light, but it's not the light that for the genre in a sense. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We get a lot of the athletes that shun light in mm-hmm. the area, mm-hmm. but then you have the big time artists that, you know, they spread love and stuff like that, but it's the ones that's in that median Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel like I'm kind of holding the torch for the median. And I mean, there's a lot of people too that's amongst me that's mm-hmm. doing the same. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they've either done more, if not equal to what I've done. Mm-hmm. But I think I do stand at the forefront of that median that want to show light in our area, and I'm up there with them. Mm.
So, now I kind of want to cut to sort of the like, you know, the step away questions we're at that part of the interview, so
no pressure, Kev.
Right. So, you know, the first one then is, how has hip hop impacted your life?
Hip hop has greatly impacted my life. A lot of the music that I do listen to is hip hop. It's not just a genre to me, it's more of, it's a culture, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's the way you walk, the way you talk, the way people look at you. In my opinion, I look like hip hop. I got a big curly fro. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Right. But it's greatly influenced me. And, you know, and to see, you know, where the genre is actually going is only positive, because now we're popping up on commercials and mm-hmm. things like that, mm-hmm. and movies, and even through soundtracks. Like, you've got like Jay-Z executive producing the whole Great Gatsby, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and this is a hip hop artist. Mm-hmm. And those type of things that I see, I call them peers. They're my peers. Mm-hmm. Those type of things I see within my peers is like I can do that. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I can do that. Instead of looking at my genre like it's a deadbeat genre, like it's not going to be as big as rock. I don't think it will be, mm-hmm. but that's a whole different story. But it greatly influenced everything about me, like the way I dress, you know, like I said, the way I talk, mm-hmm. the way I mm-hmm. interact, you know. So yeah, it's got a huge impact on me. Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, what do you think is hip hop's place, you know, in American culture and American history?
It's still fresh. Hip hop is, I mean, it's a spin from rock, disco, and things like that, and with it growing roots in the 80s, we're talking like 20, 30 years, you know? Mm-hmm. It's still kind of creating history, in a sense. It's had some huge undertones with artists like Tupac, mm-hmm. N.W.A., Wu-Tang. Like, they've impacted our area, well, not our area, but our world, mm-hmm. where you'll get kids now that are like 7, 8 that are singing like Tupac songs. Mm-hmm. They weren't alive when he was doing the things that he was doing. You know what I'm saying? But his impact and the impact he's left within American history can have that kid go back, you know? And now they're teaching classes like Tupac poetry classes, mm-hmm. things like that. And it's leaving a mark, but it's kind of like it's slowly leaving a mark. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to be maybe past our time, but we'll be able to look back maybe within 100 years or so. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I went to Old Dominion, mm-hmm. and I was taking a music class. And even in that class, when they would talk about contemporary music, hip-hop had like probably the smallest, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. paragraph.
Right.
Because it's still being embedded. But it's making an impact, like I said, with like commercials, movies, mm-hmm. things like that, where our songs weren't necessarily popping up in movies unless we were creating the movies our own, mm-hmm. like Juice, Friday, mm-hmm. you know, our own movies where we can put our own music in. Mm-hmm. But now it's huge. Like you'll hear a hip hop song in a, you know what I'm saying, whatever, mm-hmm. like any movie, you know
right,
what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, right.
It'll pop up like just for like 10 seconds, but it's a hip hop song. Mm-hmm. So it's getting there. I don't think it's left a big enough dent that we can say that it's done a lot for American history, other than the negative parts of it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. that's kind of what I see, especially like in the 90s, with like there was still racial tension. Mm-hmm. So hip hop was seen as that black thing. It was a black thing. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But people are looking past that now, where you get anybody to that listens to music that puts that on their iPods mm-hmm. and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So it's going to get there. It's kind of taking a slow transition, though. Mm-hmm. But it's getting there, though.
Yeah, do you, now do you think, or what do you think hip-hop's impact has been in terms of, like, race relations in this country?
Well, it was looked at first, like, more of a, like, let's leave our footprint. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was African-American driven, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hip-hop was definitely African-American driven. But it was always to leave our footprint, leave our impact. That's what the NWAs and the mm-hmm. Public Enemies mm-hmm. and the things like that was to, let's show that, you know, let's show that we're equal, you know what I'm saying? Like, and we can do it through other ways, but music in itself is probably the hugest way to get your point across, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Because you can yell, scream, curse within this realm of sounds mm-hmm, mm-hmm. versus if somebody just went outside and started yelling, you're like, oh, he's crazy. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. But if I went out there with a boombox and the things that I were saying was behind this beat, you might be more drawn to listen to it because of that sound mm-hmm, or that mm-hmm. song. The I think I'm getting away from the question. But with the racial tension of it, like I said, it was always looked at like as a black thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you've had artists that would cross that line. Not necessarily cross that line, but were influenced by that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like Beastie Boys didn't look at it like a black thing. This was their music, mm-hmm, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? These are three white guys from Brooklyn mm-hmm. that loved the culture, mm-hmm, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Rick Rubin, who's all the way funky white guy, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. co-founder of Def Jam, which is the biggest hip-hop label in the world, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So, but I think it was an outlet and a voice for people like that didn't have that ability to say what they wanted to say, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. and these were kids in the ghettos and the projects and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They would turn to this type of music to create, and it was always like a chant, like a battle cry in a mm-hmm, sense, mm-hmm. and you'd get other races that looked at it differently. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That didn't pay attention to it. Like, and I mean, it's even with like pop music. Like mm-hmm. with Michael Jackson didn't get a huge break until like the MTV thing. And MTV mm-hmm. would only play rock music. Mm-hmm. There weren't black rock artists. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Other than like, what's the boy name? That was crazy. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Oh, Rick James?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's a rock artist to me. Mm-hmm. But it, like, there was tension within all genres, mm-hmm. but the fact that hip-hop was, still is African-American driven, you'll get the other races to kind of look down at it in a sense because of it's inferior. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. the music they create is loud, mm-hmm. and there's cursing scattered everywhere within it, and then you'll get other people that pay attention to it, to kind of listen to it, and take pieces from it, mm-hmm. you know, but the ones that kind of listen and just hear that, they're not hearing the actual music. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They just hear, oh, there was this F-bomb, N-bomb thrown everywhere, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And they're not digging too deep into it. So there's always going to be that tension of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even still, like, it'll pop up on CNN or MSNBC, mm-hmm. and like you'll hear, like, what was it? It was even with Common. Common's probably one of the dopest hip-hop artists. And when the Obamas invited him for a poetry reading, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. there was, I forgot that guy's name, but it was just like, yeah, how do you bring a so-called, like, he what's the story? He was, he went and visited this guy who killed a cop, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Common went to visit the guy and kind of like give words of encouragement and things mm-hmm. like that. And then turn around, and he's invited to the White House for a poetry reading. So this white guy, I want to say it was CNN, not CNN, but Fox News. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Yo, how can you bring Common to the White House?"
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Is it because he's black, or is it because of the things that he says in his lyrics? Like mm-hmm. that's where those racial questions come about, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be there. And this was just as recent as maybe 2008, mm-hmm. you know, 2009, mm-hmm. but. Yeah, it's always going to be there. But the barriers are definitely falling and the walls are definitely coming down to it, to not just being that. Then you'll get, like, you can travel to Tokyo and China and you'll find hip-hop is huge over there. They love it over there, you know? So the barriers are definitely falling.
So now to sort of do the future casting bit, thinking 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years down the line, where do you think... What will hip-hop's place be in your life?
It's not going anywhere. 5, 10, 15 years from now, it's not going anywhere. I love it so much that it's just got that, not necessarily a stronghold where I'm going to go crazy if I don't have it. But it's already made such an impact in my, not even my life, but in my heart, you know, that it can't go away, you know? So I don't feel like it'll be anywhere. It wouldn't be gone anytime soon.
Okay, so in terms of going through all my, you know, all the questions and things like that, the sort of the tentpole stuff that work our way through, we did it. But is there anything that, you know, number one, that I didn't ask that I should have? And number two, anything else that you want to say, sort of end it with?
I mean, you've asked a lot of good questions, and for those to be like just throwaway questions or whatever, they were great. Those were awesome questions. All I can add is thank you for the opportunity. I hope this collection grows bigger than we've ever imagined. So, you know, we'll put it in the hands of God and let him do his work. But hip hop is love, always. And just keep it at that. Keep it in the craft, keep it from the heart. And it's all good.
Well, good. I think those are excellent words to end with. So thank you so much for being a part of the William Murray Hip Hop Collection. Cool.
Thank you.